young lady has got special tickets for you. So if you do want to get out here, you can stay here.
Good morning, family. Are you as glad to see me as I'm to see you? I trust that somebody has made you feel right at home and that you enjoy the presence of the Lord this morning as we gather around the table of His Word and just honor Him this morning. Thank you for making the time to come. Have you greeted each other friendly? High five to some folks around you. High five, low five. Give them a fist pump or whatever it is that you do. That everybody can be made to feel welcome here. Hallelujah. Good. Okay, special Mother's Day celebration, and we should honor our mothers every day, but especially on this day. So if you haven't visited in a while or made a phone call in a while, here's your opportunity to do so. Okay, you want to follow with me on the screen or your Bibles, your tablets, your phones, wherever you read the Word of God, come with me to the book of Kings. It's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, Samuel, 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 17. Are you there? Amen. If you're there, say, preach it, Pastor. If you're not, say, please wait. Please wait. Okay. Yeah, 1 Kings 17. From verse 8. Trust that God is going to speak into your heart, speak into our hearts as we look at His Word this morning. Okay. 1 Kings chapter 17 and from verse 8. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Then the Lord said to Elijah, go and live in the village of Zarephath, near the city of Sidon. I've instructed a widow there to feed you. So he went to Zarephath. The name's already changed, and I'm only on the second verse. As he arrived at the gates of the village, he saw a widow gathering sticks, and he asked her, would you please bring me a little water in a cup? And as she was going to get it, he called to her, bring me a bite of bread too. But she said, I swear by the Lord your God that I don't have a single piece of bread in the house. And I have only a handful of flour left in the jar and a little cooking oil in the bottom of the jug. I was just gathering a few sticks to cook this last meal, and then my son and I will die. But Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go ahead and do just what you've said, but make a little bread for me first. Then use what's left to prepare a meal for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. There will always be flour and olive oil left in your containers until the time when the Lord sends rain and the crops grow again. So she did, as Elijah said. And she and Elijah and her family continued to eat for many days. There was always enough flour and olive oil left in the containers, just as the Lord had promised through Elijah. Sometime later, the woman's son became sick, and he grew worse and worse, and finally he died. And then she said to Elijah, oh man of God, what have you done to me? Have you come here to point out my sins and kill my son? But Elijah replied, give me your son. And he took the child's body from her arms, carried him up the stairs to the room where he was staying, and laid the body on his bed. And then Elijah cried out to the Lord, oh Lord, my God, why have you brought tragedy on this widow who has opened her home to me, causing her son to die? And he stretched himself out over the child three times and cried out to the Lord, oh Lord, my God, please let this child's life return to him. And then the Lord heard Elijah's prayer, and the life of the child returned, and he revived. And then Elijah brought him down from the upper room and gave him to his mother. Look, he said, your son is alive. And then the woman told Elijah, now I know for sure that you are a man of God and that the Lord truly speaks through you. Father, we thank you so much that we have the privilege of gathering around your word this morning. Lord God, Holy Spirit, make your word alive. Let it feed us exactly what our spirits need. Let it change our minds where we need changing. And let us comply and obey, not only being hearers of the word, but doers of the word and the work as well. Thank you that after our gathering today, we will go and we will be better men and women of God than before we came here today. In Jesus' mighty name, and all God's people said, amen. I've titled this morning's message, Lessons from a Mother. What an interesting passage of scripture. Not only was this woman a mother, but also a widow. And we can see some lessons from this lady's life that we can apply to our lives. Some profound stuff here, and you can really just preach about it for many, many weeks. So I'm going to be brief and get some of that into half an hour. Is that okay? Are you ready to receive from the Lord this morning? Some things, just 7 points, 7 lessons from this mother. The first one I want to highlight is from verse 8, where it says the following. I should highlight the verse number so it's easy for me to follow as well. No, it's actually from verse 9. Verse 9 says, I've instructed a widow there to feed you. I wonder, folks, why did God choose this widow? I submit to you that this widow had proved herself in the past. I submit to you that this widow with God had a track record. I submit to you that God knew that this widow he can trust. Because he says, I've instructed a widow. Is God going to tell you to do something knowing that you're going to disobey again and again and again? No. You let circumstances arise in your life via your les gaan leer. Where you're going to learn your lesson. But this widow, he says, I've instructed a widow there to feed you. And like God, he must have chosen this widow because of her track record. And second of all, I'm like, God, could you not see that this widow's in need? She's got nothing left. She's got nothing left. But I submit to you also that because she was in need, God chose her. You see, God chose her. He saw that this widow had a need, and he saw that this widow would obey. So God knew that he could rely on her. My brother, my sister, don't answer, but can God rely on you? Can God rely on you? You see, you might think God is not answering your prayers. Okay, maybe it seems like that. You haven't seen your prayers being answered. But ask yourself this question. What have you done about the last thing that God has told you to do? So many times people get excited when a word of God and a prophecy gets spoken over them and say, "Die Here het groot planne vir my lewe." That's great, and it is so. But what about the small little acts of obedience that he calls you to do? The little things, like for example, greet somebody first instead of waiting to be greeted. Or send that text message, make that phone call, or invite somebody to church. Tell them about what you heard on Sunday, you know. Say, look, I don't know all the answers, but come, that oak with a microphone, he'll give you some answers. You know, something like that. What about, you know, does your neighbor know you're a Christian? Have you gone to them and said, look, guys, this is who I am. I just want you to know that if you need anything, please ask me and I'll get somebody else to help you. Let's say, hi, my name is Mozzie. How do you like me so far? But don't tell them your name is Mozzie. You might get a clap. Just, hi, I'm so-and-so. How can I help you? What have you done about the last thing that God has told you to do? You see, he's a builder. There has to be a foundation. There's a plan. So before you start looking at the decorations in the house or how the roof's going to be finished, that foundation needs to be laid. He says, I've instructed a widow there to feed you. If I was God, I would have chosen her. There's a very affluent, well-off person in the town. They got plenty for you. I've instructed that person to take care of you. No, God chooses a widow that is in dire straits. Like God, really? The second thing, it says, he saw a widow gathering sticks. The prophet saw the widow gathering sticks. Now, I don't know about you. Oftentimes when I face difficult situations, it leaves you from analysis paralysis. You start thinking about how and why and what ifs, and you start thinking about it so much that you're at a place where you're not doing anything about it anymore. This widow had every right to have thrown in the towel and say, well, that's it. That's it. There's nothing left. We're going to have our last meal, and my son and I, we're going to die because there's nothing left. And she could have just sat on her blessed assurance and done nothing. What was this widow doing? She was gathering sticks. She was doing something. Okay? So in difficult times, we can't just sit around and do nothing. Remember this statement. Pray like no work will help, and work like no prayer will help. Do both. Pray like no work will help, and work like no prayer will help. This woman wasn't sitting on a blessed assurance. She was gathering sticks. She was making a plan. Sticks. Sticks. She was making a plan. The third thing is, he says, just bring me some water. Oh, and while you're about it, give me something to eat also. So point number three, bring me a bite of bread too. Dit was moeilik genoeg vir hierdie weduwee om planne te begin maak vir haarself en haar seun. And while you're about it, give me something to eat. I submit to you, the Bible clearly says that Elijah was a man of God. We saw proof that he's a man of God. God done the miraculous through him. He was an obedient man of God. So God used this man. There's no doubt. And then, so God prompts him to ask for a bite to eat too, knowing that this widow is desperate. Isn't that a little bit selfish? It's really, really selfish. Bring me a bite of bread too. This widow, what did she do? She was willing to go the extra mile. Don't just do what's required of you. You think, well, you know, I've been working at this company for 15 years. I do everything they tell me to do. I get paid and stuff. They never, ever recognize and, well, you're doing what you're supposed to do. You're doing what you get getting paid to do. How's about going the extra mile? I've been the recipient of these things, and it's like kind of silly. But how many of you know you get what's known as like a finisher's medal? No. Okay. You participate in something, and because you finish, you get a medal. Well, what happened to the days when the medals were given to first, second, and third place? It's not a big deal because I finished, but you get a medal for it. Why? Because people's feelings. Oh. Yeah, you achieved something, but you should, you know, just. So I'm not saying there's anything wrong with receiving a finisher's medal, okay? Please, yum out. If you got great, well done, you finished. Just give yourself a pat on the back quickly. But if you do just what you're supposed to do, okay, great. You're getting paid to do that. How about going the extra mile? There's a saying, I forget the guy that said it, but as pastors, arrive early, leave late, and linger longer through the crowds to connect with people, to, you know, make sure that you connect with the people. Not just like 3 minutes before the tight, I sneak in from that door, then come on, yeah, don't greet anybody, cheers. Oftentimes people get out through that door before I get to greet them. Sometimes I go stand there, sometimes I hang around, yeah, sometimes it's in front, just to try and connect with people. Go the extra mile. Go the extra mile is the third lesson that we can learn from this widow. Are you learning something so far? Okay. The fourth thing that we can learn from her. She did just as Elijah said. The Bible says so. So the lesson is, do what God says, even when it doesn't make sense. Folks, try and place yourself in this mother's shoes this morning. The prophet asks her to go and get a bit of water, and then he says, first make food for me. And then what's left? It's like, There, I'm lost already there. Then it does, it's not making sense to me. The Bible clearly says what's left. Have for yourself and your son. Take care of me first. I'm the man of God. I'm the prophet. Take care of me first. I wonder if Elijah, if the woman, if her motherly instinct was greater than her obedience to God. And she decided, no ways, my first responsibility is to my son. No, your first responsibility is to God. Because only God can enable you to be the best parent that you possibly can be. What if she said, no, I've got to look after my boy. I might go hungry and God knows I could afford to shed a few pounds. So I'm going to make sure my boy is fed. I'm going to give you. Who are you? You're some strange oak here. Can't you see? We're on our last. But she was obedient, even when it does not make sense. True story, quickly. There's a big construction site. And a guy's walking in the street on his way home or to or from work or whatever. Point is, he's walking past there. And he's a Christian man. And he's an obedient man. And he feels the Holy Spirit prompt to him. There's this big manhole down here. Shout into this deep hole in the ground. John 3:16. And the guy's like, come on. And he carries on walking. And the further he walks away, he feels the Spirit of God compel him to turn around and shout John 3:16. And if you do not know, the Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him won't die but live forever. I've paraphrased. And he looks around because it's like kind of doff, you know. He looks around, nobody's watching, and he says, for God so loved the world. And it echoes. You know? Pretty cool. And he carries on going. And as he walks away, he feels the Holy Spirit convict him again. Do it again. And he's like, oh, come on, man. And well, first time wasn't so bad. He makes a U-turn, goes back, and he shouts John 3:16 down that hole. And it echoes in this construction site like this, in his uncompleted buildings. And he thinks, okay, now it's done. And he walks away again the third time, the Holy Spirit. Just like this prophet Elijah, three times. He stretched himself out over the boy's body. I don't know about you, I'd say like, Lord, it's like not working. Can you do something else now? Or like, you know, maybe I missed God. And this guy goes, and a third time, he shouts, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him wouldn't perish, but have everlasting life. And now he's curious now. Because three times the Lord has laid in his heart to do this, and he sticks around to see what this is all about. While this was happening, there's a desperate man that doesn't know Jesus. He's on the highest place of this uncompleted building. And he's planning to kill himself, to jump off, to commit sewage pipe. And he says, God, if you are real, I want you to speak to me and I want to hear your voice. And as he says this, he hears this voice echoing, for God so loves the world. And it's too good to be true. He says, no, it can't be. God, if it is you, tell me again, Lord. Guess what? He hears it a second time. He says, okay, God, you're real. But I just need to be sure, Lord. I need to be sure. And he has it a third time. And he doesn't jump off. And he makes his way down to the construction site. And this believer who shouted down the hole, he's sticking around. And he sees this guy and he says, like, what do you need? He says, no. And they connect with each other. And he says, and he has the opportunity of leading the guy to the Lord. True story. It didn't make sense to the guy shouting it down the hole. So what has God told you that it just does not make sense? It just, Lord, you know how many, you know I've been abused at this company, Lord, and you want me to do what? Doesn't make sense. You see, it's not about you. It's about the bigger picture that we sometimes don't see, that God is up to something. It's about something that he wants to do in your life that you don't see. Folks, if you can understand God all the time, you need a bigger God. You know, we don't understand each other in our difficult relationships that we have with each other. Why we get offended when we say things and why people come. We don't understand all those things. So there's going to be times where we won't understand God. But what have you done about the last thing that he said to you that you perhaps do not understand? She did just as Elijah said to her, even when it does not make sense, be obedient to God. That's the fourth lesson. Lesson number five from this mother's life. After she'd done what the prophet said, and he said to her, these jars are always going to be full, and there's always going to be enough flour. You see, folks, in God's economy, there is no shortage. And God's maths does not make sense. God's maths does not make sense. God's maths declares that honor him with the finances that is entrusted to you. Even if it does not make sense on paper, your expenditure is so much and your income is so much. Honor God first. Put him first and watch what happens. Remember last week we said you don't have to tithe. Don't. See how far you can get managing your finances. Or honor God and see what He does, the impossible, with that which He's entrusted you with. It's your choice this morning. We can decide who we want to work with our finances. And not only in the area of finances, but anything. In relationships, just obedience to God. There will always be enough. It says, there will always be enough. So, what's the lesson? Your obedience will bless you as well as others. Your obedience will bless you as well as other people. You see, God wants you to be a channel of His blessing, a channel of His abundance, a channel of His surplus. When you start gathering it, if you look at water that flows into a dam, if it can only flow in and not out, what happens to that water? It gets rotten. There's no new life. That which is there eventually dies, becomes stale. But when there's a continuous flow of fresh new water, it's vibrant, it's thriving. So, your obedience will be a blessing to you as well as to other people, because it says there was always enough. The sixth lesson is this. So here's this widow. She's obedient to God. She experiences the miraculous. There's an abundance and everything's lekker. Now there's food and everything's good. And guess what happens? Guess what happens to her? Life. Life happens. How many of you are sitting here this morning and life has happened? You're doing everything right. You're not only listening to the preaching, you're applying the preaching. You're doing everything you know. And then life happens. Anybody else here like that this morning? Uh-huh. Let's be real. That's what's called real life ministries, because real life happens. Sometimes the pawpaw and the cabbage and the carrots and the guavas and the apples, everything hits the fan. And you're like, and like, what now, Lord? I don't know. Sometimes people have questions that I just don't have an answer for. You know what? I don't have an answer. And let's not ask God for an answer, but let's just go to God. Let's just say, God, we love you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Somebody has said this, that when we pray, God sends His angels to minister on our behalf. And that's true. Hebrews 1 says that, that there are ministering spirits of fire to minister for those who will inherit salvation. But when we worship, God fights our battles personally. You know? So she's doing everything right, and then the son gets sick, and he gets worse and worse. I wonder what this widow was thinking. What was going through her mind? And you see her humanity. You see her, like, she goes to the widow. What have you done? Why have you come here just to point out what's wrong in my life? And my son's going to die. All going to die. And she throws the toys out of the cot. So it says, he grew worse and worse, and finally he died. So what's the lesson? Sometimes things will go wrong, even when we're obedient. I don't have an answer for you, family. I don't have an answer. Things will go wrong, even when we are obedient. However, this is just another opportunity for God to do the miraculous. You know what we need for a miracle to take place first? Some people are going to say faith. How many of you thought faith? Maybe a prayer. Obedience. You know what we need for a miracle to take place first? You need an impossible situation. You need an impossible situation. You want to see the miraculous? You want to see Jesus walking on the water? Well, let the storm-threatening life hit your life first. Then you're going to see an aspect of God that you've never seen before, church. You're going to see His power demonstrated in your life like you've never seen before. You see, the Israelites, they were going from Egypt to the promised land, and they were experiencing all the miraculous. Water out of the rock, meat so much that it came out of their nostrils, their clothes growing with them, never wearing out. I mean, how many of you would like to live like that? All these miracles happening all the time. Well, guess where that was? In the desert. How many of you want to stay in the desert or eventually get to the promised land? But everything changed when they got to the promised land. There, they would have to start working. They would have to start working. So where do you want to dwell? Forever in the desert? 11 years? 40 years? It's a journey that would have taken 11 days walking. 11 days, lekker stroll on the way to the promised land. Yee-ha! No, 40 years. 40 years. So things are going to go wrong even when we're obedient. Even when we're obedient. But it's just another opportunity for God to do the miraculous. That's lesson number 6 from the widow. Lesson number 7. So there we see this happening. And the widow makes the statement, "Now I know for sure that you're a man of God and that the Lord truly speaks through you." So, spiritually speaking, and in terms of faith, this widow was better off than before her son died. What is the end result that God has in mind on the other side of your difficulty? The other side of your impossible situation? What is the end result that God has in mind for you? The lesson is, difficult times will make a better, more faithful and believing version of you. How have we handled difficult times in the past? We just prayed for it to end. Lord, why? Lord, why? Lord, why? And that's okay. We go through, like this widow had to learn certain things, we too have to learn certain things. Let's recap at the things that we can learn from this widow. We see there that God must have seen this woman's track record. He instructed this widow. Not somebody wealthy, but a widow. She must have been obedient. God knew he could rely on her. The question for us this morning, church, is, does God know that he can rely on us? And if not, repent and say, "Lord, I've blown it in the past." Maybe you're at a place where you are in obedience, in disobedience right now. Repent. Just say, "God, I'm sorry." And turn. How can you fix disobedience? How do you fix it? It's not a trick question. To be obedient. That's it. Then you've sorted it. Isn't it easy? Aren't you glad you came to church this morning? That's how you fix disobedience. Then the widow was gathering sticks. She was doing something. What was the lesson? Pray like no work will help. Work like no prayer will help. Lesson number 3. Bring me a bite of bread too, not just the water. Lord, be willing to go the extra mile for others. For others, not only for yourself. Lesson number 4. She was obedient. She did just as Elijah told her to do. Lesson number 5. It says there was always enough. So your obedience will be a blessing to you as well as to other people. Lesson number 6 says the boy grew worse and worse and finally he died. Bad things are going to happen even while you are obedient. Be obedient anyway. The people are going to disrespect you, be ungrateful towards you, be loving and kind to them anyway. Nobody notices, nobody cares, they're not going to raise your salary, they're not going to give you a bonus. Go the extra mile anyway. Because at the end of the day, we should be working as unto the Lord and not as unto others. What lesson was that? Number 6 there. Lesson number 7 says, "Now I know for sure." So there was probably doubt in her life. Even after the flour was in abundance and the olive oil was not running out, she might have thought, "Oh, well, the economy's changed. We've got a new government now. It's no longer this party. There's a new party and things are different. That's why." There must have been some doubt left in her. She says, "Now I know for sure that you're a man of God and that he speaks through you." So family, how many of those lessons do we have to learn? And what are we going to do about those lessons that we need to learn? Maybe you're at a place in your life where there's been this disobedience or whatever the case may be. That's why we're here this morning. Whatever area there is in your life where you see that God could and should change, just let God do business with you this morning. Is that okay? Let's pray together as the deep end comes up to lead us in a time of worship one more time. Let's pray with each other and for each other this morning. Lord, as has been said, even Dion confirmed it this morning, Lord. He said, some of us are going through difficult times. And just hang on. Just hang on. The breakthrough is coming. You've got this, Lord. There's an answer somehow. And even if there isn't an answer that we can perceive or understand, we just know that you are still God. It hasn't changed who you are, Lord. I pray for each one of us this morning, Lord God. Help us to see the areas in our lives where we can apply these lessons to our lives, Father. And if there's areas where we've been disobedient, perhaps we've not been gathering sticks, so to speak, but we should have. Perhaps we've just been praying and not working, or just working and not praying. Help us, Lord God, to fix that. Help us to see, Lord God, that our obedience will be a blessing to us as well as to other people, so that we can be a blessing to other people also. And Lord, let every challenge that we face turn us into a more obedient, believing, faithful version of ourselves. As you're seated here this morning, church, perhaps you don't have that relationship with God. We think, oh God, you don't know my circumstances, Mozzie. You don't know what's happened to me in my life. I really feel forsaken that God has really forgotten me. If that's you this morning, my precious brother, my precious sister, if you feel like that, if the devil has convinced you of that lie, just be honest this morning. If you feel like that, that God has forgotten you, raise your hand. Anybody like that this morning? Anybody? Okay. There's hands going up, several hands. Would you put your hands down this morning? I want to pray specifically for those folks that have raised your hands. What's important is not that I've seen your hand, but that God has seen your heart. And we want to pray with you this morning. I'd like us all to stand to our feet, please. Everybody, the whole congregation as we stand. Intercessors, continue to pray fervently, please. Also, I want to make an appeal. If you're not 100% sure in your heart of hearts that if you died right now, you'd get to heaven, God wants to do business with you. If you're not sure that you have that kind of relationship with God, that if you died, you'd spend an eternity in heaven, I want you to please, please, please raise your hand. Is there anybody that feels like that this morning? There's several hands going up. Bless you guys. You know, folks, the intercessors, please continue to pray. This is the most important time of this entire message this morning. You know, when Jesus died, he done something very, very bold. He done something very brave and very courageous. He let himself be paraded in front of everybody so that the world can see that this is the spotless Lamb of God. This is the Lamb of God who's committed no sin to die in our place. If you've raised your hand, I want you to do something very, very bold. Please, this is not about who sees or who doesn't see. This is about you doing business with God. If you've raised your hand because you feel that God has forgotten you, or you've raised your hand because you're not sure of your relationship with God, and I want to ask you, please take the bold steps from your seat, just like Jesus took those steps, carrying that cross all the way to the hill called Calvary to lay down his life here. I want to ask you, please, please make your way forward to the front so that somebody can pray for you. We don't want to embarrass you. We want to love you. We want to pray for you. We can't fix you. We don't have your answer, but we know the God who has. We just want to pray with you. If there's anybody like that this morning, maybe you didn't raise your hand, but you know you should have, please come to the front. We want to pray with you. Anybody, anybody, please, we just want to pray with you. We just want to pray with you. Just honor the Lord like that. I'd like the counselors or people to come pray with these people up here in front, please. And like I said, please don't be concerned about who sees. Never mind who sees or who thinks what. This is about you doing business with God. Anybody else? Anybody else? Those two categories. You feel, Lord, you've forgotten me, Lord God. I don't understand these things that Mozzie's spoken about, Lord. It's like, when am I going to get my chance, Lord? If that is you this morning, please come forward. My brother, my sister, come forward. We just want to pray with you. We just want to pray. Or if you're in any way unsure of your relationship with Jesus, just come forward. As ladies with ladies, men with men this morning, bless your heart. Thank you for your obedience. Thank you for your obedience. I just want to say, I just sense to say this morning, as you've come up here in front, please don't listen to me. Just listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you this morning. The fact that you've been courageous enough and also humble enough to come to the front. God has seen your heart. These few steps, these simple steps of obedience that you've taken from your seat to come to the front, God has seen them. I want to tell you, it's like that widow that has gone out and gathered sticks. She has done something. You've done something, and God is going to honor that this morning. I declare this morning that your breakthrough is coming. Because of your obedience, God has seen your heart, and He's going to do the impossible in your life. I sense that God is going to answer prayers in a way that you didn't expect. And you're going to see the hand of God. You're going to see Him working in your life like you have not seen before. I want to encourage you. We're going to officially end the celebration this morning. Please, please, please go with the person that's going to pray with you. To our chill zone next door, here, they're just going to pray with you, okay? We just want to pray with you and just cement what God has done in your life. So with the people that are praying with the folks, please take them to the chill zone next door so that the folks can pray with you. And we're going to officially close this part of the service off this morning. Lord, thank you for these folks that have come forward. Thank you that they've made themselves available this morning to be prayed with and to be prayed for. Thank you that you see their hearts. Thank you that they're honoring you in humility and faith, trusting you, not me, not the message, Lord God. They're trusting you that you're going to bring the change in their lives. And we thank you for that this morning in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen. Bless you guys. With the folks praying with the people, please take them to the chill zone next door here. Thank you for making the time to come to church this morning and to celebrate with us. May Almighty God bless you and keep you. God make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up His countenance over you and give you supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding. Thank you to the deep end. Let's worship the Lord one more time. Thank you, guys and ladies.